This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, Joy, Joy.
Hello and welcome to the Well, Well, Well show, brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. My name is Jessie and I'm joined today by my co-host Jack. Thank you, Tim, for the news and to Gazan for the morning show. Jack, how are you today?
Well, I'm almost as the day, so it's a perfect autumn day. First day of autumn, 28 degrees.
Oh, is it first day of autumn?
First day of autumn, and I feel pretty much in tune with nature, I think,
today. Yeah. Did you know today was a leap year? I mean,
no, that's
this
right.
year
yes,
was a leap
that's
year.
Right. Yesterday, so you could have proposed to me.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have to keep that in mind.
I don't think it's going to happen. I've got to wait another 4 years, Jess.
Oh, no, indeed. Well, I didn't actually realise it was a leap year yesterday, but I guess I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes, it was.
Well, what have we got on for today?
Well, we've got lots of things on today. And we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community. We're all about sex, health and well-being. Jess, you've got some guests lined up.
We do. We've got a few different topics that we'll be covering today. So we'll be talking about Phoenix for Women, which is a peer support group for newly diagnosed women or women living with HIV. And we'll also want to make sure that you're looking after your well-being for those planning on travelling up to Mardi Gras and knowing your rights when it comes to the police and the law. So
exactly.
We're talking to someone from HIV and AIDS Legal Centre in Sydney later on.
Terrific. It's very interesting today, so stay tuned. We've got lots of things coming your way, especially if you're going to Sydney for Mardi Gras this weekend. If you have any questions, of course, or comments, we'd love to hear from you. And the easiest way is to email us straight away in the studio to onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS us on 0427-JOY949.
That's right. And before we continue, I just wanted to plug the trivia night we've got coming up.
Absolutely.
Which is on the 19th of March, which is really fun. But you usually go to that, don't you, John?
Yes, I do. I do, and but never seem to be a winner.
Oh, really?
I think this year
good teammates. I think that's
the right.
trick.
It's good bonding, but I think this year people will come away, everyone will be a winner.
Oh, well, I think that's what my mum used to say. So it's on the 19th of March in North Melbourne Meat Market, which is number
that's
5
right.
Blackwood Street in North Melbourne.
Yes.
There's also a silent auction, and all proceeds are going to supporting people with HIV.
That's right.
It's going to be a really fun night. I remember going last time, and yeah, it was heaps of fun. There's going to be drinks and nibbles that you could buy there, and tickets are about $22 for a single
and
group tickets.
Group tickets? Get, I think there's tables of 10.
Yes.
Get your mates together, get your work colleagues together.
Yeah.
Come along to the VAC Trivia Night on the 19th of March in North Melbourne, and $20 if you get a group of 10 or more.
Yeah, and you know what they say, it's just some good, clean fun.
It is. Also, there's concession tickets available also for $20. So if you don't know anyone, you'll soon be meeting people at the table if you share a table with somebody.
Indeed. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And first joining us today, we have Sarah Hocking from Straight Arrows. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you very much. And yourself?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think, is that right that today is your birthday?
It very much is.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Well, happy birthday. And thank you so much for taking the time out to have a chat to us.
Are you turning 29 today?
Oh, God,
you don't ask
no.
a lady their age, John, okay?
29. Okay.
Don't worry, just ignore him.
Yeah,
firstly, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your role?
Yeah, so I'm the Health Promotions Officer for Straight Arrows, and we support heterosexual people and families living with HIV or affected by HIV. And I see my role within the Health Promotions team as someone that delivers like campaigns, events, provides information, social connection, so people that are living with HIV can better support themselves and their journey forward is made easier.
Now, how do you think a positive diagnosis can affect a person's mental health, Sarah?
Well, personal experience and being in the community for the last 4 years in Australia, everyone is different, but there are certainly some common themes that we have. There's internal stigma. There's a lot of self-judgment that can come about from the diagnosis.
Sorry, apart from external people, apart from other people sort of stigmatising and discriminating, there's the self stuff too you've got to work through.
Yeah, and that's at the start, probably the main the main issue, because your sense of identity has been lost. It's very changed. It can be very different from, you know, your pre-diagnosis to what you think your life is going to be like post your diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
There can be like a grief and loss process that comes, a bit of denial, some anger, and then just from that, things can spiral if you don't keep it in check.
Yeah, sure. And you talk about lifestyle having changes. Is there anything in particular you can think of that you would say have changed a lot in terms of lifestyle before and after?
Well, obviously there's medications. If you choose to go on medication, that's something that you have to do every day.
Mm.
It's also looking at taking a bit of better care of yourself because your immune system has been compromised. However, with the medication, it suppresses the virus, which is excellent.
Mm.
And it's just about taking some self-care and reflecting on yourself, that you're treating your body right mentally and physically.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be quite confronting, obviously, as you've just suggested, if you're diagnosed HIV positive. So why is it important, or what are the strengths for the person who is diagnosed to connect with others whilst you're going through an experience like this?
Well, it's really important to connect just for the sheer fact of knowing that you're not alone. You know, there's nearly 40 million people living with HIV in the world, but you can feel extremely isolated, like maybe you're the only one. And also being a woman as well, within that, we're a minority within a minority.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in Australia, there's less than 3,000 women living with HIV, which, you know, you need to connect, listening to other women and how they've gone through their struggles and issues that they've had is really empowering to know that, oh, actually, I can do it as well. Like, I'm not the only one here. There are tools that I can, strategies that I can use to push forward.
So the peer-based nature is a great strength to anyone going through it, especially if you're a minority, as you said, within a minority itself.
Yeah, exactly. And within that minority, there's things like there's people from, you know, culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds.
Yep.
There's people that have had domestic violence, and there's so many layers, it just keeps going and going.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us about the Phoenix for Women workshop? What does it entail and who will it benefit?
Yeah, so Phoenix for Women, it's a joint initiative by Straight Arrows, Positive Women Victoria and Living Positive Victoria. And it's a workshop for newly diagnosed women or women that have been living with HIV for some time and are ready to connect. It's peer facilitated, so it's actually run by women that are living with HIV. And then within the sessions across the 2 days, it's a full weekend, we have health professionals that come in, a doctor, a nurse, and a counsellor.
Okay, and what do they do there? Are they there to, like, answer questions and stuff?
Yeah, so they deliver the really technical stuff on HIV monitoring, on treatments, on reproductive health, STIs, things that, you know, you want to hear from a professional.
Yeah.
And then the peer-led stuff is more about breaking down barriers, personal goal setting, and things like that. So there's two dynamics. So you can get a lot of information that, you know, when you first go to a doctor, you may not have really listened to what they were saying because you were in a bit of shock, a bit of denial. So, you know, maybe 3 or 6 months or 2 years down the track, you're actually ready to receive the information.
And how often do these Phoenix workshops for women take place?
So this is the very first one, which is
terrific.
Extremely exciting.
Well, it's obviously long overdue then, if this is a need that's been identified, and that's your role, I guess, to plug away at this and to work at it and to support others going through what you've been through.
This is exactly right. I mean, there was nothing like this. You know, like I said, I was diagnosed in a different country,
right?
But the women that I've spoken to here that were diagnosed here said this would have been amazing to have when they were diagnosed here. It's based on the Phoenix for Men, which has been running in the gay and bisexual sector for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and that was Genesis. So it's extremely well run. It knows its target, and it really works.
Great. Yeah.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're continuing the conversation with Sarah about women's mental health and HIV. And Sarah, you were just talking about the Phoenix workshop for women. So how do the needs of women diagnosed with HIV differ from men?
Well, I think within society as a whole, like men and women, their needs differ anyway. But specifically with HIV, it differs around family, reproductive health, mental health support, physical needs. We interact socially different to how men do. Our connections, our friendship circles are, you know, maintained in a very different way. And we also, we like to understand our health differently to men, I believe.
Indeed, yeah.
So all of this kind of intertwines with our upbringing, our values, our socioeconomic status. It all differs greatly from person to person, but specifically male to female.
And, of course, you've got the added issue or layer of reproductive health.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. It's often, I mean, not to speak for all women, but it's often, oh, am I still able to give birth? Is my child going to be positive? Those ones are really important, and just being able to maintain your reproductive health, are the meds going to affect it, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, we can't just kind of take a snapshot of what works for gay men and superimpose it onto women. It needs to be quite tailored because it's so different, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Women aren't included in clinical trials and things like that.
No, I know. I know, it's always been the
really,
case.
It's really, it's hard.
I know. The antiretrovirals. Yeah.
Sorry?
I was just going to say the antiretrovirals have always been, the clinical trials have always been with men, on men, about men.
Yeah.
And women sort of just get tagged on the end. So it's, I think it's good that you've taken this initiative around the Phoenix workshops for women, because there are significant issues and differences, and people need to be aware of what the needs of women are.
Indeed. And I wonder how we can change that, you know, by just making it more visible or including women. Slowly, step by step, you know, working in the right direction, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We're moving forward. We've got the HIV 8 or Futures 8 survey that's coming out. We still need more women. We're underrepresented in every level across the board with HIV. So it's really up to women living with HIV to kind of fill in these surveys. And they don't have to, you know, shout it from the rooftops or anything like that. But just try and engage a little bit. And then knowledge is power. So the more they know and the more that we know about ourselves and about how we work, then the better for all women.
Yeah. Sarah, you were saying about how there are differences between men and women, and you pointed out how clinical trials are really done on men. In your work experience, do women tend to access HIV services less often than men do? And if so, why is that, do you think?
Yeah, I believe that we do, but you know, there's a plethora of reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 10% of the population in Australia living with HIV, meaning that 80% is gay and bisexual men, meaning that there's a massive community and they can really hook into that of a much bigger amount of people. We've got family responsibilities if we have children.
Sure.
We tend to put our mental and physical health second if we do have a family. There's also people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, and there could be stigma within their own community as well as within themselves. And also regional living as well is a massive problem. The services are just not in the regional areas. So women are having to travel to Melbourne, meaning they're going to come less frequently. And so they're just, you know, instead of coming once every 3 months, they'll come once every 6 months. So it's all, all
layers upon layers
of itself. Yeah, exactly.
So why do you think there is less visibility? I mean, other than, you know, the fact that the numbers are lower than men or gay men, why is there less visibility and awareness for women in comparison?
I think it does go back to the fact that there are just really low numbers. You know, the history of HIV and AIDS was very centred on men, and, you know, women kind of took a back seat. But now globally it's 49% men and 51% women.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just in Australia it's different.
In developed countries.
So we're trying to recognise that, but it's difficult. So like I said, we're not in clinical trials. We are a minority within a minority. And, you know, our socioeconomic status really depends on how we can access, if we can get there financially.
Sarah, what can we do as individuals or as an organisation to improve the mental health outcomes for women living with HIV?
Well, we touched on it before, that each woman is an individual, yep, and we really need to look at them as a whole person with a holistic view, and just understand that with social determinants and difficulties that some women may face, even prior to having a HIV diagnosis, and then you put this another layer on top of that, one size doesn't fit all, and yeah, everybody is an individual. So I think providing women with information, with giving them social connections, that's the biggest key in fighting mental health issues for women living with HIV.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So this Phoenix workshop you mentioned earlier, when is it starting, mm-hmm, and how often does it run?
Yeah, so we're hoping to have two a year, yep, which is, this is the first one, and we're beside ourselves with excitement.
Yeah, that's great.
If people would like, the first one's the 16th and 17th of April. It's okay, a two-day workshop, 9 to 5 both days, fully catered for. If you go to the Straight Arrows website, the Positive Women Victoria website, or the Living Positive Victoria website, mm-hmm, there's links on there to read more about it. You can call me at Straight Arrows. You can call someone at Living Positive or Positive Women Victoria. Everybody is aware of what's going on, and you'll get to the right person to talk to if you're just not sure about it, or you just, you want to support it.
Great. Thank you so much. And is there any cost to that?
No, it's completely free.
It's completely free. And even though it's only twice a year, it's still an opportunity to connect with other women, isn't it? And just kind of build a community there.
Exactly. Even just being in a room with another positive woman can change your theory and your mind about everything. Like, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
You think I'm like, what are they supposed to look like? Oh, like me. Oh. I know what I look like.
Exactly.
Well done. Well done, Sarah, on this initiative. And long may it go on to be successful.
Indeed. Well, I'll just repeat
Thank
that
so
again.
Much for your support,
if people
guys.
Want, oh, absolutely. And if people wanted more information, you can go check out Living Positive Victoria's website, Straight Arrow's website, or the Positive Women's website. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on radio with us.
Cheers, Sarah.
We will speak
no
to you
problem.
Soon. And this
Wonderful.
Is well, well,
well. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much. Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we are joined next by Suzanne, who is from the HIV and AIDS Legal Centre. Suzanne, you're on the line with Jack and myself. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for coming on the show.
Jack.
Can you just start by telling us something about your role there and what exactly it is you do and about the organisation itself?
Okay. Well, I'm a lawyer at the HIV AIDS Legal Centre, which
yep.
provides advocacy to people that have HIV in the law, but basically my role with Fair Play came from the initiative put together by the LGBTI community to support organisations, to support partygoers at Mardi Gras and LGBTI events.
Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, there was a major incident where a young man was, there was an altercation between the police and a young man. And Fair Play would have been part of that whole process, I presume, sort of sorting out
Well,
that.
Fair Play was born out of that process.
Okay.
So what was that process exactly? Do refresh my memory and let us know.
There was an incident where there was a bit of an altercation between the police and a person attending Mardi Gras. Mm. And it was all about the police powers and the roles of police and partygoers' interaction with police. And one of the initiatives, Fair Play, originally was a project called Project Blue. And mm-hmm. it was put together again by the LGBTI organizations that wanted to support partygoers. But once this incident happened in 2013, it was sort of escalated to a more formal level where we did a lot of work with the police, with other organizations, to create an initiative in a formal sense to support people in the community going to LGBTI events.
Sure. So it's not just about Mardi Gras, it's about various events across the board.
Yeah. Could you explain again exactly what is Fair Play? Is it just for Mardi Gras or is it for LGBTI individuals across the board?
It's for LGBTI individuals across the board. It actually occurs mostly at Mardi Gras time, given the amount of events that go on.
Yeah, of course.
In the past, it was Harbour Party and the main party and so on. But our primary objective is to inform and support and educate members of the community on health, safety and rights when attending events.
Sure.
And to be there for them, you know.
And what's your involvement in it exactly, please, Suzanne?
Well, I was one of the initial members that put together the program. My role is more legal. I provide the legal support there. I liaise with police, but I mostly liaise with the volunteers that work. We're run by volunteers.
Sure.
That go out there and help people and inform them about their rights when they interact with police at these events.
So you've got a good relationship, I take it, with the New South Wales police these days?
We've worked very hard on creating that relationship, and it's through initiatives
yep.
like Fair Play that have facilitated that.
Mm.
Terrific.
So you said that this incident about 3 years ago was kind of the kickstart for this. What organisations actually came together and to kind of start Fair Play in the first place?
It was Inner City Legal Centre, ACON, Mardi Gras, of course, mm. and the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby that sort of initiated it.
So
there was an advocacy paper that came out at the same time with police.
Sure. So Fair Play has a significant role to play in informing people of their rights. So it is naturally very, very important that people are aware of it and are informed about what they can and can't do, what they should and shouldn't be doing, and their rights that are related to all of that. So how do they go about finding out more?
Well, we have a website that
yep.
has a lot of information about it, detailed information. We are currently on Facebook and things like that through Inner City, through ACON, posting different
sure.
snippets of information. But on the night we will be there, there will be lots of people around, volunteers handing out cards, being able to help people. They can come talk to us. There'll be we'll have a tent there, and
yep.
we will be there to support them through any process that they go through.
Okay. Now, under what grounds do the police have the right to strip search a person? Like, I'll be up there in Mardi Gras this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What rights do I have to say no to such a thing if a request was made by a police officer?
Well, the request has to be that they have reasonable grounds to suspect, and that means they're informed by guidelines that tell police to look at things like beyond a drug dog indication, of course.
Okay.
Like behavior and if you're known to the police and things like that. It's subjective, but it is defined by some guidelines, and it has to be reasonable grounds to suspect. So
okay.
some sort of behavior or something.
So, yeah, they can't just do it. It's just not like a casual on-the-spot sort of request. Okay, we'll do you over sort of thing.
Not at all, not at all. A police, if they want to suggest talk to you, they have to do the least invasive kind of search unless they, again, as I say, have reasonable grounds
yep.
to suspect that they need to do more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thanks so much, Suzanne. Please stay on the line. We'll be right back after the break.
Fine.
Blend is the original network for gay professional women. It's the only network of its kind in Melbourne and has many years' experience in connecting lesbians. Meet like-minded women, make new business contacts, socialise with friends and have fun. Join Blend and become a part of Melbourne's largest network for gay women. See globemelbourne.com.au for more details.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we'll continue the conversation with Suzanne about Fair Play and Mardi Gras. So, Suzanne, if an individual has been charged in the first instance, what should they do?
Well, you should always remain calm and cooperate with the police, and you should always give your correct name and address, but you don't need to give any other information or answer any other questions. And if possible, try to remember who the officer was or the station that they came from, which they should have identified.
Okay.
Okay.
When they initially talked to you.
Yeah. Why is it important to kind of identify the police officer? What benefit would you have in that?
Just in case you feel aggrieved or you feel like you haven't been treated correctly, or just to know where the process started and how it happened. That's
yeah.
the best way to go.
Okay.
So will you be at the parade up Oxford Street and across Sydney? And also, do you also go to the party, the Mardi Gras party? Are you a presence across the various events?
We will be at the party. We will have a tent at the party. And again, if someone gets charged, they should go to the tent. We'll be holding a particular advice night sessions after the party for people who have been charged.
Okay.
And we'll be at the party.
Okay, great. Yes. So whereabouts would the tent actually be? Will it be easy for people to find you?
As soon as you get in the door, in the ticket gates, it'll be right there. It'll be a big tent. We'll have a presence there.
Okay.
And we'll be out and about. We'll be with the police, where the police do their searching. We're in that area. We're all over the place trying to support partygoers.
Great.
You mentioned before that they have to have a reasonable cause to search you, one of which could be a reaction to a drug detection dog. Do they have those dogs working the parade on Saturday night?
No, they're at the party.
They're at the party, okay.
Okay, so for patrons...
But not inside, outside on the entrance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So for any patrons who are participating in Mardi Gras, have you got any advice that you could give them?
Our biggest advice is to have a great and safe party, but if you're approached by the police, cooperate with them. If you feel aggrieved about it later, then get some legal advice and make a complaint. We'll be there. Come talk to us. Come to the tent. Tell us what's going on if a fair player isn't around at the time that you have that interaction.
Okay. Does fair play have a range of people, volunteers, if you like? We can't survive, as Joy can't survive without our volunteers. So does fair play rely upon volunteer lawyers and legal people to give advice and to be out and about on the night?
Yes, we exactly. The program is run by volunteers. It is sponsored by the
yep.
community, the LGBTI community members, but it is run on the night by volunteers. Everybody there is a volunteer. We're not there that night to give you legal advice. We're there to support you.
Okay.
And we can. And Inner City has set up special clinics afterwards to give people the specific legal advice should they need it.
And how many volunteers would you have across the board, say, that link into Fair Play?
Approximately 30.
Okay. So quite a dedicated group of professionals who are there as a resource to the GLBTI community, who will be out and about on Saturday night for all of us to be mindful of.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. So where exactly could people find out more information about the rights? What was the website that people could go to check it out?
It's fair-play.org.au.
Great. So fair-play.org.au. That's so great. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for coming on radio with us. We really appreciate your time.
Yes, and you have a good Mardi Gras as well.
Yes,
I'll
happy
be there.
Mardi Gras, and thank you for having me, and everybody have a great time and a safe time.
Absolutely.
You're welcome,
thank you so much.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 as Jesse and Jack bring you the news from VAC. Now, I think the clear message from our last guest was about please be safe at Mardi Gras.
Which means what exactly? Being safe.
Well, exactly.
Well, it's a wide range of things when it comes to that. I guess it could be in terms of taking care of your health.
Exactly.
It could be terms of, you know, looking out for your mates as well.
Yes.
And just not, like, you know, we can get all a bit excited, I guess, coming together to Mardi Gras. It's just mostly just don't go overboard.
That's right. Do everything in moderation. Keep an eye out for your mates, for your friends there. Keep your fluids up. When I say fluids, keep up your water. Drink plenty of water. Don't dehydrate yourself.
Indeed.
And if it's going to be a warm night, you'll need that. So if you'll be standing around or a late night dancing or prancing around at the party, be careful, be safe, and know that Fair Play are there for your information and as a resource, your legal resource.
Yeah, for sure. So are you going to Mardi Gras, Jack?
I'm going up late Friday night. I'll be coming back Sunday, so I'll be there on my walking stick. So
Ooh.
I'll be very quiet. I'll be I don't think I'll be actually partying at all.
So not partying on the floats or walking down the street.
No, I just think I'll probably be, is it direct telecast on TV? I'm not sure. But anyway, but just that Fair Play website again is www.fair-play.org.au. Look that up for your legal rights around GLBTI events, Mardi Gras being a major one.
Yes, indeed. So now we've come to the end of the show again.
We have, but look, we've got a message, Jess. We've got a message.
We do have a message.
And it says, my two favourite Well, Well, Well voices, Jack and Jesse, you have made my day. And that's from somebody called Anthony living in Reservoir.
Well, I
or
wonder
Reservoir.
If he tells everybody that they're their favourite.
He probably
you know?
Does.
But, you know, we're going to think that we are.
I know. But also, just a reminder, on the 19th of March at the North Melbourne Town Hall, the North Melbourne Meat Market, not the Town Hall, the Meat Market, is the Trivia Night, the VAC Trivia Night. Tickets are $22, concession is $20, and group ticket is $20 as well. So that's a fundraiser raising money for people living with HIV who receive VAC services. Doors open at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock start.
Yep, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Thanks so much for listening to the show with us today, guys. This is Jack and Jesse.
It is. And coming up next is?
Coming up next is?
The afternoon show with the lovely, gorgeous Grace.
Indeed. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We'll see you next Tuesday.
At 12 noon.
Bye.
Cheers.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.